going to get into the Word tonight. I was going to say one thing, though. I know that when we do what we did on Sunday, we have a lot more people here, and a lot of you are doing things that you don't normally do on a Sunday. And I just want to say thank you for your sacrifice, and also follow that up with, you know, there's one level of resistance when you try to come to church. Has anybody besides me ever encountered resistance when you're trying to get to church? I mean, just trying to get to church sometimes can be a major hurdle to get over. Do you know what I'm talking about? Even if you've been coming to church for years, and I would say that basically anyone in this room, you probably don't get up on Sunday asking yourself, am I going to go to church or not? It's just how many hurdles you got to get over, and how many black eyes you got to give in the family, right? No, I'm just joking. To get here on a Sunday. But when you raise it even to the next level and you make a determination that you're going to be ministering to other people, how many of you know that takes it to another level of warfare? It just really does. Because as long as we're not doing nothing, as long as we're just hanging out and we're not purposed to reach people for Jesus, the devil's not really concerned about us. But when we put ourselves out there and say, okay, I'm available and I'm going to do something for you, God, we just put ourselves even more so in the crosshairs of the enemy. So if I could pass the microphone around here tonight, I could probably get some testimonies of some people who said, okay, I'm going to volunteer for Easter Sunday. And you forgot about the fact that you were putting yourself in a position where the enemy was really going to fight you. And so you probably endured some of that, and you probably, particularly maybe in your position where you were volunteering, maybe it wasn't the easiest thing. Maybe you were getting stretched, and maybe you were doing some things, and maybe you encountered some things that you weren't expecting to. But let me just say that when it comes to ministry, stepping out of our comfort zone, it's just going to always be like that. But how many of you know it's worth it? It's worth it. One thing it does is it puts us in dependence on the Holy Spirit. It takes the dependence off of ourselves, and it puts, God, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this, but I know that you've got me here to do this, and so I trust you. But it stretches us. It makes us more dependent upon the Lord. And when we're more dependent upon the Lord, it makes us more effective. And so anyway, I thank you guys so much for all that you do. I mean, I'm sure some of you were up in the slides on the playground. Some of you were on the parking lot. Some of you were dishing out food, and every area you guys shine so much. And it was a great day both here and El Dorado. Between here and El Dorado, we had about 1,200 people between the two campuses on Sunday. And so wasn't that fantastic? We don't say that because we're into numbers, but do you think God's into numbers? I think he's into decreasing hell and increasing heaven. And that's what we're into. We're not into numbers on a sheet. We're into numbers in heaven. So praise God. Well, I want to spend the last few 25 minutes here just talking to you about something that's kind of been rolling around in my heart for a number of weeks. And I just haven't had the opportunity to share it. And I want to talk to you tonight about the topic, the choice is yours. And I always like to make it personal. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. And this kind of came out of a story, or not a story, it kind of came out of an event that took place in our life a few weeks ago when is Jillian in here? I don't want to. She always gets mad at me when I call her name in church. Anyway, she got sick a few weeks ago, and she got sick, and then she got sicker, and so we took her to the doctor, and we were believing God, but we went ahead and took her to the doctor, and they prescribed her some medication, and we came back home with that medication, and we were faithfully taking that medication, which is often not any fun with little ones because it was yucky medication, you know what I'm saying, the liquid kind that she had to take, and over the next 2 or 3 days, even though we were faithfully taking the prescribed medication, she continued to worsen. Her symptoms continued to get worse. So we went actually on a Sunday afternoon and went back and to the clinic, went to the doctor. And when we did, they said, hey, this has gotten pretty bad. So they sent us over to the ER there in El Dorado. And while we were there in the ER, they wound up saying, hey, this is something that needs to go beyond here. And they wound up sending her by ambulance to the Children's Hospital. I know many of you prayed and God well took care of her. But when we got to Children's Hospital there, they did some things and they checked her out. And then as we were consulting with the doctor there, the doctor was asking some questions and finding out. And he said, when he found out the medication she had been taking, he said, well, that's entirely the wrong thing. He said, actually, what she has been taking has been making her problem worse. And even though we were faithfully and consistently applying that prescription, we were taking it. How many of you know we were taking the wrong thing? And we were blindly taking something that actually was detrimental to our situation. And instead of helping it, we were actually hurting it. But how many of you know it can be the same way in our walk with the Lord many times? Many times we think what we're doing is right. We think what we are taking in our lives is going to make things right or better. But oftentimes we are taking things into our hearts and into our minds, or we're doing things in our lives that are actually detrimental to our situation. And if you actually read on medication, it'll say something like this: if symptoms persist or they worsen, then consult your doctor immediately. And many times in our lives, we continue to blindly go down the same path or go around the same mountain when the symptoms in our life in a given situation, be it our marriage, be it in our finances, be it with our children, be it on our job or our destiny, the symptoms continue to persist as they are, or they worsen, yet we don't change what we're doing. How many of you know we need to know what we should be taking? And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes about that. And I want to call it tonight, "The Choice Is Yours." Now, I've got four quick points, and I want to preach point four, but I got to do points one, two, and three to get to four. And so we may not get to preach four the way we want to, because I really feel like this message tonight is not necessarily revelatory. Do you know not everything we hear has to be new information? It's not necessarily revelatory. I would say it's more rhetorical. These are questions we need to be asking ourselves. Sometimes it's good to take the light of God's word and just shine it deeply on the inside of us and let it light up things in our life that we may not have seen or understood till this point. Because we can come to church and we can hear things and we can say, "Oh, that was great." But if it's not working in us and if it's not being applied in our lives, is that Peyton? It's so good to see Peyton. Did y'all hear? "Hey, Peyton, how are you doing?" Huh? "Is she doing good, Mom?" After Peyton left, so talking about, where's that coming from? Everybody's phone. Silence your cell phones in the church. Don't tell me what it says. Talking about Billy and Amberly now, and they were serving here, man, on Sunday morning out there with the kids. Thank the Lord. And Gary and Vicky on the playground, they were serving together. So many people. We had a little over 200 kids here on Sunday, but they went home Easter Sunday afternoon, and man, the enemy really tried to damage little Peyton's life. And she was in a four-wheel accident, and they were at the ER Sunday afternoon, and they were saying all kinds of things about surgery and pins and stuff on her arm. But we talked to Billy and Amberly as they were going to Children's in Little Rock, and they said, "Well, our faith is it's not going to be that. Our faith is it's not going to be surgery, that God's going to set this thing." And you know what? They got there, and God took care of that. He was able to set it. No surgery, right? No surgery. And they casted her up, and they said, "Man, it's going to heal. So Peyton, we love you. Let's just pray for Peyton right there. Father, we just thank you right now for taking care of Peyton. God, we thank you, God, that you preserved her. And God, we thank you that you've begun a good work. You're going to be faithful to complete it. And you're going to heal her up quickly and completely, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. So my question tonight would be this: what am I taking in my situation? What am I taking in my situation? Is what I'm taking in my situation helping or hurting? Is it helping or hurting my marriage, my finances, my relationships? Is it helping or hurting in my struggles and in my battles with the enemy? Is it helping what I'm taking a hold of in my life? Is it helping or hurting with my children, my health, my job? Because the outcome of every circumstance, situation, obstacle, trial, and test that we encounter in our life will be determined by what we are taking in the midst of it. Now, we could have pled ignorance in the situation there with Jillian and said, "Well, we were just doing what we were told." But how many of you know that ignorance doesn't change the outcome? if we're doing the wrong thing, we're still going to have the wrong results, whether we understood what was going on at the time or not. That's why the scripture says so many times, the Father said, my people perish for lack of knowledge, because we need to know the truth, because it's the truth that makes us free. So my question tonight is, have we stopped to consider recently what we're taking in our situation? Now, we're all people. We're all men and women. We have jobs. We have lives. Many of us have the same circumstances, and we have the same battles possibly that have been in our lives for a long time. And sometimes when we get into those types of situations, we just continue to do the same things that we've always done. But I feel what the Holy Spirit wants us to do is He wants us to open our eyes, and He wants us to open our ears, and He wants us to open our hearts and say, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know so that I make sure that I'm taking the right thing in my situation, so you can begin to turn it around in Jesus' name. So some things we have to know tonight. Number one is this: there will always be two choices. There will always be two choices. In every situation we encounter in life, there will always be two fundamental choices, or if you want to go along with my analogy, two fundamental prescriptions that are always available for us to take. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you two fundamental choices. They are life and death, blessing and cursing. No matter what we come up against to in life, we have to understand there will always be two fundamental choices, and those are life and death. Aren't you glad that there are two choices? Aren't you glad that we aren't stuck with what the enemy wants to try to stick us with? That there is a blessing that we can choose or a curse. There is life that we can choose or there is death. It goes all the way back to the very beginning of history in the garden. And when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, He put Adam and Eve in the garden and He put how many trees in there? He put more than two trees, but there's two specific trees, right, that He said. He said there's going to be a tree of life and there's going to be a tree of basically death. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And He said, if you choose this one, you will live. If you partake of this fruit, you will live. If you take this fruit, what's it going to do? It's going to produce death in your life. So no matter what we come up against in the practical, everyday aspects of our life, whether it's relationship difficulties with our spouse, whether it's a forgiveness issue with a coworker on a job, in every situation, God has made available to us a tree of life, and there is the enemy presents a tree of death. We always have two choices: light and dark, blessings or curses, the flesh, I would say, or the spirit. Romans 8:6 says it like this: for to be carnally minded, that's of the flesh. If we choose the flesh, if we choose what the flesh man wants, it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there are flesh choices that we can partake of. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In that moment, in that argument, in that second, and we can choose the flesh and we can choose death, or we can choose the spirit and we can choose life. There's always going to be two choices. And the fruit we take, the prescription we grab, the one that we take and we partake of, is always going to determine the outcome of my situation. Choices like, in my situation, am I choosing doubt or am I choosing faith? Am I choosing judgment of that person, or am I choosing mercy for that person? Am I choosing anger against that person, or am I choosing love? We're talking about real issues of life. All of us are facing things in our life right now. Are we choosing to forgive, or are we taking bitterness into our lives? Am I choosing compassion or am I choosing criticism? I'm just going to keep throwing some things out here. Am I choosing to talk about that person or am I choosing to intercede for that person? You follow what I'm saying? There's always two choices in everything we come against. In a home, in a church, in a job situation, in a community, we have two choices. Are we grumbling or are we being thankful? Are we trusting God or are we choosing to be in fear? Are we submitting in the situation? Are we choosing to to rebel within our hearts? Are we humbling ourselves, or are we taking pride in the situation? Are we being sacrificial, or are we being selfish? Do you follow what I'm saying? In every situation, there's always going to be two choices that are presented to us, and it's up to us which one we choose to take. Number two, and that is my number two, and that is this. The choice is ours to make. The choice is ours to make. There were two trees in the garden, and the free will that was given to Adam and Eve was this. They were told what they needed to do. They were presented with the truth, but the choice was given to them. Every day the choice is given to us. Every day. There's no one that can make the choice for us but us. There's no one that can be close enough to us that convince us to make the choice but us. We are responsible for our choices. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 13, verse 19 and 20. It says, today I have given you, everybody say you, the choice between life and death, between blessing and cursing. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. It's amazing how many times you and choice or choose comes up in this one verse. It's our choice. He says, oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. How many of you know that just because something is offered doesn't mean we have to take it? Just because the enemy offers us anger in that moment doesn't mean we have to take it. We have a choice. The choice is ours. We have to know that instead of anger, we can walk in love. We have the option to accept or to reject anything that is offered to us. And just because God's offered us spirit and life doesn't mean that we have to accept it. The choice is up to us. How many of you know Eve didn't have to accept what the serpent had offered? The Father had offered something much better, and he had offered the truth to go along with it. But it was her choice to make. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, it says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whom land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will choose to. We will choose to serve the Lord. And some of us in here tonight have been taking the wrong things, and we've been expecting to get a different result. But as long as Jillian would have continued to have taken that medicine, it was running counterproductive to the healing process that needed to take place in her life. And it was suppressing what needed to happen. And some of us have been taking from this tree and expecting for there to be life. And the Holy Spirit is saying that the choice is ours, but we have to choose life. We have to choose forgiveness. We have to choose love. We have to choose to be a peacemaker. Not based on what we feel, not based on what the other person is doing. It's based upon the truth of God's word, and that his word never returns void. And that if we'll look at those two options and we'll consider those two choices, that if we'll take the prescription that God has made available to us, how many of you know our situation will begin to change? Jillian began to get off of the wrong stuff and onto the right stuff. And within 24 hours, there was a radical change. Many of us in our lives have been experiencing in certain areas of our life. You know, if we could overlay our lives on top of each other, we all deal with very similar areas of issues in our life that have to do with family and have to do with finances and have to do with a destiny and calling and have to do with job and have, we overlay those things. And for me, something may be a tremendous battle in my life, and it may not be a battle for you at all, because God has helped you overcome in that area. You've made the right choices. You've chosen life in those areas, and maybe I haven't. But there's some of us in this room, situations have continued to persist and worsen in our lives because for years we've been choosing the wrong thing. Remember the disciples in the storm? Matthew chapter 14, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they didn't know it was him. They were frightened, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, and I love this. This is what the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart several weeks ago. And it was this. It said, take courage. That's what Jesus said. He offered something, right? He offered life. He offered them a prescription. He said, take courage. In that moment, they had an opportunity to either take courage or what? Take fear. We all have the opportunity on a daily basis to take from God or to take from the enemy, to take from the spirit or to take from the flesh. And whatever we take from is going to determine where we end up. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the scripture clearly tells us that if we're taking anything besides faith, he said, what? God has not given us, God has not offered us, God has not offered us a spirit of fear. But what has he offered us? Power and love and of a sound mind. And I'm sure the other day, Amberly, in that moment, what we have to do is the enemy comes and he, in a blinking sign, and he offers what? He offers fear. But it's up to us whether or not we take it. We don't have to take it. Just because it's offered, we can say no to the flesh. And we can say no to the enemy. No, I'm not going to be angry. No, I'm not going to be unforgiving. No, I'm not going to be a gossip. No, I'm not going to walk in fear. But I'm going to take life. I'm going to take what God has made available for me. And how many of you know that if we're taking the right thing, it will begin to change our situation? In Deuteronomy 31:6, the scripture says in the Message Bible, it says, be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated. I would say, don't take intimidation. God was saying, take courage, don't take intimidation. The choice is ours. It says, don't give intimidation a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. This was Moses talking to Joshua, and he was saying, look, I know you're facing a big responsibility. I know that you've got some big enemies ahead of you. I know that you don't have much experience, and I know it's big shoes to fill, and I know intimidation and fear are being offered to you, but you don't have to take it. You can take courage. What are we taking in our lives? The choice is ours. There's always two choices to make, and the choice is ours to make. Number three, like I said, this isn't deep revelation, but it is questions we need to be asking ourselves. Number three, the choice matters. The choice really does matter. The choice has a ripple effect in our lives, in our marriages, in our children, in our families, and beyond. Two totally different prescriptions that are offered us in every situation, but they offer two totally different outcomes. How many of you know we cannot be fooled into thinking that it doesn't really matter what we take? That was the sales pitch that the serpent gave Eve. Did God really say? You know, if you take what I'm offering, it's really not that bad of a deal. You'll feel better. It'll taste better. Isn't the enemy pretty good at convincing us many times? Oh, hold that grudge. Doesn't that feel better to hold that grudge against that person? Why don't you judge them? Doesn't that feel good to judge them, you know, and to determine to speak over their life? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? The enemy tries to convince us that if you take what he's offering, that it will be better. You know that if you eat the fruit, you're going to be just like God. You're going to know the things that he knows, and you'll be better off. But we can't buy in to the sales pitch of the enemy to think that if we take what he has to offer, that things are going to get better. How many of you know it's only death? That it's only death. It's only death. Galatians 6:7 says this, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man, and I'll take the liberty here and say, or woman, whatever a man sows, that he's going to do what? He's going to reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If we think we can take what the enemy is offering, be it fear, be it anxiety, be it anger, be it depression, if we can take those things and think that we're going to be alive in those areas of our life, we've got another thing coming. The scripture says we're deceived. It says, don't be deceived. Whatever we sow, it says we're going to reap. And in 2 Corinthians 9:6, this is a scripture we like to quote Miss Thelma right at the offering time. He who sows a few seeds is going to get a small crop, but he who sows generously will reap a generous crop. How many of you know that's good if you're sowing the right thing? But if we're taking the wrong thing and we're taking lots of it, how many of you know we're going to have a big crop of it to eat? We're going to have a big crop of it to eat. If we think otherwise, then we are going to be deceived. And the longer we take it and the longer we allow it to be in our life and the longer we let those seeds be sown in our life, the bigger our crop is going to be and the worse our situation is going to become. But if we will flip that script and we will begin to get in the Word of God and we will begin to take the prescriptions and the promises of God into our life, no matter if we understand it or if we can see it, but if we will believe it, it will begin to turn our situation around. How many of you know it doesn't have to take 3 decades? Be it unto you according to your faith. Go and be healed in Jesus' name. The woman with the issue of blood, she had been taking all this other stuff for 12 years, but in a moment, she took healing from the hem of his garment. And when she took the right thing, how many of you know her life was transformed instantaneously? The choice matters. It matters to my spouse. It matters to my children. It matters to my coworkers. It matters to my church. It matters to my bank account. Doesn't matter if I take tithing or I take credit cards. Doesn't matter. Seriously. Does it matter if I obey the Word of God in my finances versus going out and doing what I want to, what feels good in the moment with my finances? Absolutely. The choices that we make matter. Our crop is no accident. Our crop is no accident. Deuteronomy 30:19, our text verse really says this. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say choose life. Why? He gives us a reason that both you and your seed will live. Doesn't matter if we choose right. For us and for those around us, for us and those that belong to us, that if we will choose life, us and our seed will live. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What's it saying there? We have death and we have life. Those choices are ours. Even with our words, we can speak death or we can speak life. And whichever one we choose to speak is the one that we're going to eat from its fruit. Our crop is no accident. It's a direct result of the choices that we have made, of the seeds that we have chosen, of the words we have chosen, of the attitudes and the priorities we have chosen in our life. How many of you know choices result in consequences? And the word consequence is not a bad word. We often associate it with being a bad word. A consequence is just a result of. There can be good consequences and there can be bad consequences. But there are consequences to every choice that we make, small or big. And let me just say this as I get ready to close. The current condition of any given area in our lives is the result of the sum total of choices that we have made in that area of our life up until this point. Let me say that again. The current condition of my bank account, my marriage, my walk with the Lord, my position on the job is a direct result of the sum of the choices that I've made in that area up to this point. That's why in your life, you may have an area that's blooming beautifully with the kingdom of God, because you have made tremendous choices over a period of time. You have taken what God has offered in that area. And if you overlay that on my life, my life may not look anything like that. It might be death and it might be desert because of the choices that I have made. But the good news is this: God's always offering life. He's always offering his spirit. He's always offering his promises. We just have to know what it is, and then we have to choose to take it in. Because my last point is this, and it's not the one I'm going to get to preach, and I knew it was going to be this way. Number four, and that's this, because this is really, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I am reminding you, though, of some important things. Number four is this: am I aware of what I'm choosing? This is where I want to spend a little bit of time, and we'll do this next week. Am I aware of what I'm choosing? We need to know, and we better know, but here's the reality. Many times in our own lives, we are not even aware of the choices that we're making. Many times we are not even aware of the bad prescriptions that we are taking into our lives. And that many times we don't understand why things aren't getting better, why things aren't turning around, why things keep getting worse. And we just don't understand. And all the while, the prescription reads, if the symptoms are worsening or things are getting worse, then consult your doctor. And some of us need to reconsult the Holy Spirit in our lives, an area, because we're taking things into our lives that are counterproductive to what God wants to do. And it's time to close, but it's going to be good. This is what I want to deal with here in this point, and it's the word blind spots. How many of you got that picture, Lee? Can you go that picture of blind spots? Because I want to kind of end on this. Now, I've never driven a truck like that, and y'all probably better be glad. But every box that's outlined in yellow where those people are standing is a blind spot to that driver. Meaning that from where he's sitting, he cannot see what is in those spots. And all of us in our lives have lives. This is something God has been dealing with me on for a number of weeks now, and that's spiritual blind spots. What are areas in my life? What are things in my life? What things am I taking in my life that I don't even see? Would you venture to guess with me that maybe you have some areas in your life that are blind spots? And blind spots are those spots many times that when somebody goes to point it out to us, we'll defend it to the death. We don't even see it, but we'll defend it to the death. But it's a blind spot in our life. And you know what? It doesn't matter if we see it or we don't see it. The consequences are still the same. So my question would be this. Are we aware of what we're taking in our lives? Here's the thing. If there's an area of our life that's dying or dead, if there's an area of our life that's weak or sick, if there's an area of our life that is unhealthy or is consistently causing us problems, the chances are is that we have spiritual blind spots in our life. And we need the Holy Spirit and some other things to help us, how many know, be able to see. What were we singing earlier, Brett? What song were you singing tonight? Huh? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes. Open the eyes of my heart. Or how's that go? But anyway, it was about the eyes. But anyway, Ephesians says that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. So next week, Lord willing, on Wednesday night, we're going to take this point and we're going to break it down. Because listen, Indy and I were taking turns giving that medicine to Jillian. But how many of we were blind to its effects? We thought we were doing the right thing. And we were engaging in it on a daily basis. We were setting the clock, making sure we were doing it. And there are things in our lives that we are taking that we're blind to. There are things in our life that we don't see. And so I want to talk about what do we do? How do we identify those areas? What are some safeguards to that? And what we can do so that we don't have blind spots. One of the ways that they deal with blind spots is what? They put mirrors in certain locations so we can see. But God has a way of helping us. Let's stand to our feet real quick. We're going to be dismissed. Hallelujah. The choice is ours. How many of you are thankful for this? Aren't you thankful for this? I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. I'm thankful that God the Father loves me and accepts me and embraces me and doesn't condemn me, doesn't run me down. How many know He lifts us up? Amen. And when we have blind spots in our lives, so many times, man, His grace has covered us. Has anybody ever almost ran over somebody in the other lane because there was a blind spot and you almost took them out? And I've done that almost so many times. And me and Brother Jerry were almost in a horrible accident the other day. But how many of you are thankful for the grace of God? The grace of God. So what I'd like to close out with tonight is this. Man, God has the answers to turn things around. God has the ability to open our eyes to things we haven't seen. The Holy Spirit is with us to be able to intervene in our situation. So if you want to do it, just lift up your hands to the Lord as we go out of here tonight. Father, we thank You, God, for Your truth that makes us free. God, we thank You that You desire truth in the inward part, God. God, we thank You that You're pulling down out of our lives, God, strongholds and deceptions, God. And God, things in our lives that we've taken maybe for a long period of time, God, that were not from You. God, that You're cutting them off, God, and You're cutting off the voice of the enemy in our lives, God, and that we're being drawn closer to You. And God, that You're working on us as the potter does on the clay, and that You are molding us and You are making us into vessels of honor, God, that are so fit for the Master's use, God. And God, we submit and we surrender to the potter's hands. We don't say to You, Potter, what are You doing here? What are You doing there? We say, have Your way in our lives. lives. Open the eyes of our heart. God, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. We throw off the lies of the enemy that say this is just going to be the way it is. This is just the way they are. This is just the way it's going to turn out. No, in Jesus' name, we take the truth of God's word and we stand upon it, God, and we thank you, God, that you're the God of the turnaround, the God of the breakthrough, the God of the impossible, the God who loves us, Father God, who takes us up in his lap, whispers truth to us, God, and changes our circumstance. God, we just love you tonight. We just pray, let's just believe, God. God, continually to watch over every person, every home. God, we bind every force of darkness that would try to come with threatening weather in Jesus' name. God, we just say in Jesus' name, peace be still. Peace be still. We thank you for your angelic protection in Jesus' name.